You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
They're back together again. Eric and Jeff are reunited as friends. Old Movie BS is back together again.
Welcome to Movie BS with Bayer and Snyder, the internet's only podcast brought to you by OneOfUs.net. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder, here with my co-host, Jeff Bayer.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Bayer. That was my co-host, Eric D. Snyder, and that was a very professional beginning. Nice job, Eric.
Thank you. It's beautiful weather in Portland. It's springtime.
Oh, my gosh.
Or it feels like springtime.
It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and April is supposed to be wonderful in general. We have a little dip, and then next week's supposed to be lovely as well.
Hey, and besides being beautiful weather, do you know what it is?
Nice outside?
Yes, and also, it's our sixth anniversary, the sixth anniversary of this podcast.
Wow.
April 2nd, 2010 is our first show.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember what movies we reviewed that first show?
Are you kidding? No.
I'm kidding. Of course you don't remember. I remember because it's here in front of me. Clash of the Titans and The Last Song with Miley Cyrus. I think that was a Nicholas Sparks movie.
It was Sparks.
I don't think we implemented the Sparks rule yet on that one.
we weren't ready with that one right out of the gate. Wow.
Yeah, 6 years.
Happy six.
Happy six. I don't remember what that is, the sixth anniversary.
It's not wood. It's not paper. It's, which I think was...
Is it Skittles? Did you get me Skittles?
That is your answer for every anniversary.
Well.
Wait, do you like Skittles?
Sure.
Would you eat a whole bag of Skittles, or do you want like five Skittles and then I'm good?
I mean, I would eat a whole bag. You mean like the small, like M&M size
bag?
Yeah,
not like the big
movie theater bag.
No,
I'm not an animal. No. Yeah, I would eat Skittles. I never buy them, but if they're around, I'll eat them.
I don't know what I'd think of them now. It's been years.
Mm. Well, while you're thinking about it, we have an iTunes review.
Ooh.
That someone has written us in response actually to a different milestone, our 300th episode a few weeks ago. And here's this iTunes review written by Junk Food Fan. He or she says, 300 episodes, such a huge milestone. Congratulations to one of the few movie podcasts that's actually worth listening to. High praise. Here's to 3,000 more episodes. May the world be filled with even more BS. Thank you, Junk Food Fan.
The world does need more BS.
I don't know about 3,000 more episodes.
Oh, gosh, no.
I mean, if we do 50 a year, that's – I don't know how many years that would take. Well, it would take 60 years to do 3,000 episodes, possibly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it took 6 years to do 300. Yeah. Yep. My math checks out.
Yeah. I'm not –
I'm not doing this for 60 more years.
No. No. Man, that's so weird that I could potentially be alive.
60 years from now? Unlikely.
Unlikely.
Very unlikely.
If I get like three more livers.
Well, but how many 6.5 foot tall 90-year-olds do you see?
That's true. Tall people don't live as long.
Right.
We burn out too close to the sun, I think, or something. I don't know how it
something
works.
Something like that. Yeah. It's totally what it is. Anyway, now let's review some movies.
Ooh, all right.
Let's start with, well, we can't review the wide releases this week.
No, they won't let us.
No, they're Hollywood's Shameful Secrets.
What is it? Meet the Blacks?
Meet the Blacks, which is, it appears to be a parody of The Purge, in which a black family, whose last name is Black, moves into a ritzy white neighborhood. And then I guess it's also The Purge. I happened to see a trailer for it. And that's the only promotion or marketing I've seen for this movie at all, is I happen to see a trailer once at the theater.
You mentioned this movie to me a few days ago, and that's the only thing I knew about it.
I don't know. It's a wide release, opening wide release.
And then so there's also
God's Not Dead 2.
Two.
Still Not Dead. And this is a sequel, I assume, to a movie called God's Not Dead, which I didn't see.
Which was not screened for critics either.
It's the new thing with the Christian movies. They don't screen them for critics.
Right.
They don't bother.
Right. Yeah.
So, we can't talk about those because we haven't seen them. So, instead, we'll talk about some limited release movies that we have seen.
That, in one case, you should make some effort for.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
We're going to talk about Midnight Special.
Midnight Special.
Written and directed by Jeff Nichols, who made such fine films as Take Shelter and Mud.
Mm-hmm. And he made one other one. All of his films have included his friend Michael Shannon.
Shotgun Stories was the first one, which has been in my Hulu queue forever, and I've yet to watch it.
Same here.
But Take Shelter and Mud I liked a lot. And then here's his fourth movie, Midnight Special, once again with Michael Shannon.
Mm-hmm. And you are thrown into the mix in this film. Starts with a couple of guys doing something. There's some sort of report.
Couple of guys doing something, you say?
Yeah. There's guns. There's
easy on the spoilers here.
Part of me is almost just like, all right, go see Midnight Special. Let's not talk about it.
I know. But that's not how the show works.
I know. This is a film I would say at its core is less is more, with the idea of just giving you enough to constantly give you intrigue along with a couple of wow moments and chills along the way.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty economical movie in that it doesn't over-explain things, doesn't talk more than it needs to. Qualities I admire in movies and in people, I might add.
It really shows that, for me anyway, I have confidence in the craft in this particular case.
You feel like he knows what he's doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not everything's going to be answered, but in this scenario, that doesn't feel like a false step. It feels like what he was attempting.
Right. Anything, whatever's not answered is because it's not because he forgot.
Yeah.
I saw this film. Well, you've seen it twice as well. I saw it a second time because the first time didn't quite take. The second time I was watching it, there was a line, I won't say what it was, but there was a line about something where I thought, well, wait, then how did they do that? How's that going to work out? And then I thought, no, this guy knows what he's doing. He'll explain it. And then it did come back later on. They did come around explaining that. It was a small detail, but for a second I thought, wait, is that going to be a hole in the screenplay? And then no, of course not. I agree with you that I have confidence in how he's doing it. The gist of it, there's a boy, Alton Meyer. He's 8, and he's been living at a ranch, one of them cult ranches.
Yeah.
In Texas, where they all are. And his father is Michael Shannon. And his father's buddy is Joel Edgerton. And they got the boy, and they're on the run. And the government wants to find the boy, and so does the cult that he came from, because there's something weird about him.
That's right. Yeah, and it is really a matter of, all right, there's a date that is referenced in the sense of
Friday, March 4th. Something's going down on Friday, March 4th.
We're on a time crunch here, people. We got good guys, we got bad guys, we got the government, and we don't exactly know what side we're on and why we're on it, and away we go.
Right.
And that's how it happens. And at the core of the movie, for me, what really holds it together is the intensity of Michael Shannon and then the subtle amusement of Adam Driver as one of the government officials, NSA.
NSA guy.
Investigating. Very intelligent. We have to assume he knows what he's doing in some situations. But at the same point, you get the feeling at least others think he's the smartest in the room. And he's thrown into this mix of like, do you want to interview people and try to understand this insane situation?
He keeps showing up in the movie and always sort of meekly identifying himself and holding his NSA badge out. And he's not like a take charge kind of guy.
Right.
I do like him. I realize my issue with Adam Driver's face is the placement of his ears. His ears are too low on his head.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
I think if the ears were raised, it would fix a lot of things.
I've always liked Adam Driver, like from Girls, watching mm-hmm. him early on, and seeing his film choices have been really cool as well. I'm starting to get convinced that he's doing more that's and in a way that I find positive. He's doing more like physical movement, and maybe it is just because he's gangly and I'm gangly and that's that. But he's doing more physical movement that I assume is not in the script. Like, I like watching him act.
Yeah.
Beyond just how he's delivering a line or anything else like that. It seems like he's making decisions. As opposed to just like, all right, what's on the page? I'll do my best, coach. Put me in.
Sure.
And that's cool. And Joel Edgerton, you mentioned Clash of the Titans earlier. He's the good version of Sam Worthington.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of bland. You don't know why he keeps showing up, but he's making good career choices too. And he has a subtleness just like Adam Driver with like that's another slight punch of humor with some of his lines.
A little bit, but yeah.
He's the most of as far as what we're trying to absorb, it's weird because we don't really truly have an outsider showing us the keys to this movie.
He's the closest to it, though.
He's the closest
to
it.
And he is an outsider.
No, right. But at the same point, everybody's in. Do you know what I mean? Everybody's already decided that they are going down this road that the movie heads.
Right, right. But he only just decided a couple days ago.
Right.
I misspoke. It's Friday, March 6th is the date, not the 4th.
Oh,
Friday,
thank March you so 6th. Much. Oh, thank you.
Which means the movie happened last year, 2015. That was Friday, March 6th. So everything in the movie already happened. Don't worry. It's a simple story, and it has some of the wonder, a little bit of the wonderment of like a Close Encounters of the Third Kind of movie. A little bit of that feel. For me, I like the movie a lot, but it doesn't add up to as much. It didn't hit me the way that it has hit a lot of people, I think. I don't think it's just because the story is so simple, but that definitely is a factor where it finishes up and it does what it does. And I kind of felt like, okay, I like that. All right. But it seemed almost not inevitable or without any surprises, but that's not exactly true. It just kind of, I kind of wanted more, or I was expecting more, and I'm not sure what to do about that. But I still like the movie a lot.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that. For me, there was the realization that I just don't see a lot of adult-focused wonder and mm-hmm. awe in films anymore. That are, I guess, what? Mid-range sci-fi thriller budget original storytelling.
Sci-fi, yeah, for adults.
Yeah, and so there was that. But the second time that I was watching, I realized that musical score, it's like, it's in me. I am fully absorbed. And I think sometimes the only reason I'm in full worship of like the chase scene or whatever is because of that musical score.
Yeah.
Like I was really taken with that and absorbed with that. And somebody, another film critic friend of ours said the ending kind of had that same feeling for him as The Abyss.
Interesting.
And that kind of rang true for me, except somehow here I felt hope with the ending.
It's a very hopeful ending for sure.
And it was weird because it doesn't – I would say the ending doesn't necessarily answer a lot of questions, although I don't think it's a movie that's meant
– I think it does. I think it answers enough.
But it also leaves some things like it's almost like you want more detail, but then you realize I probably don't. I don't know.
I didn't want more detail. I didn't feel like there was anything major that I didn't understand.
Okay.
I just kind of wanted it to be, more interesting or more different from what I was expecting or more another twist or something. I don't know.
For me, the keys to the ending, there were two different beats that revolved around father and son. And I thought it was just nailed.
Yeah.
In that limited dialogue, and in Michael Shannon and this kid, this is a good, it's a minimalist, performance from this young actor. Like, he's not required to do a whole heck of a lot.
Right.
But he doesn't ever really mess it up. And that's nice to see. So I give it a 9 out of 10. Really, really enjoyed it. And I was surprised that I got chills the second time around. Mm. I thought I was just going to appreciate technique and performance. But no, it still emotionally worked for me the second time around.
And I give it a B. It's good.
Oh, man.
Right?
What have you done?
I can't believe
it's not BS approved.
Yeah. And then you watched a movie that I just didn't have time for. Just didn't care enough and didn't have time for.
I saw The Light, which also could have worked for Midnight Special.
That's true.
There's no reason, from my understanding, that movie was called Midnight Special.
No, it's not really referenced in the movie. I guess you can extrapolate that the kid's powers are more at night. He's more special at midnight. But
right. Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway, I saw The Light.
Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah.
He's in this movie.
Who does he play?
He plays Hank Williams. Country legend Hank Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Not Hank Williams Jr., who became famous from the Monday Night Football.
Are you ready for some football?
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Hank Williams Jr. was the man who asked all of America whether or not they were ready for some football.
And some of them said yes and then watched the game.
Much of America said, yes, indeed, we are Hank Williams Jr. But forget about him. What about his dad?
His dad was a drunk.
Who wasn't?
Exactly.
Show me a biopic about a musician who wasn't a drunk and or a drug addict.
Can't do it. It's impossible.
Do those musicians just not live lives worth making movies about? Or are all musicians addicted to something?
Actually, I would assume all musicians are addicted to something. I would kind of assume that.
All right.
Whether it's just themselves or something greater. And then Hank Williams' wife, Audrey, is played by Elizabeth Olsen.
I like her.
And you're kind of thrown in. You don't it's not like, here's Hank as a kid. Here's Hank growing up. Here's Hank getting his first deal. It's kind of like, oh, Hank and Audrey are kind of a team here already. Okay, let's see where we go. We don't go anywhere too interesting. I'll say
right,
that.
Right. Does he die at the end?
Surprise, surprise.
He died at 30.
Yeah. I didn't realize that. It was maybe going to be interesting, but the way that the movie does the ending, that's a fail. And there's some fails throughout. At one point, Audrey starts an argument that seems terribly misplaced, and it makes me go, wait a minute. I don't feel like I've seen any of this stuff that she's ranting about going on. Is it
right?
Is she crazy? Is this a crazy person? And that's what they're trying
to
show.
Does the movie skip a reel?
Right. So it goes from there to Hank being terribly drunk, to Hank being in rehab, to Hank getting chills and dealing with it in bed, and to exiting rehab, all in the span of, I want to say, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm just like, you're not even telling a story. I don't know what you're doing. This is just a messy, messy movie. There's barely any fun in this film. And the singing seems accurate and nice. And it's not bad to listen to. But otherwise, I had no particular reason why I was sitting here listening to this story.
That's what I thought, which is why I skipped it.
Yeah, it just
sounds like Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Yeah, it like scenes would finish, and you were just like, "Oh wait, we're somewhere else now." Okay, wait, does that mean did they just get divorced? I don't understand. And then you keep feeling like a lot of time passes, but then the kid will show up again, and it'll be like the same kid at the same age.
Right.
And you're just like, so wait, this was only like 2 weeks that time passed?
And not much time could have passed because he dies when he's 30.
Right.
All right, what do you give it?
It's a 4. I guess. Oh, right. 4 out of 10. And this is a movie that was built with the concept of Oscar bait. Supposed to be released last year.
Yeah, then it got pushed away. And
everybody just kept being like, oh, that's flat. Oh, that's not good. Mm-hmm. And they were right. He didn't even know what to do with Bradley Whitford.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Hank Williams died New Year's Day, 1953. So he's been dead for 63 years.
You know what? This isn't a good movie. Here's what happens. So he dies. There's this big thing where he's like saying goodbye to like the people that he loves and all of this sort of like, oh, goodbye. Right. And like they're making it meaningful. And you're like, oh, something's about to happen because this is just a road trip.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. But the movie's slowing down to explain that he's saying goodbye to people that matter in his life. And then he misses a show because, you know, he's dead.
Right.
And the guy gets up on stage and is like, Hank Williams died in a car. And it was just like, was it a car crash?
Just he happened to be in a car when he died of natural causes.
But that was it. He died in a car. And then, like, later in the, like, you know, post-credits, it's like, this is what he died of and stuff like that. But I was just like, What? He died in a car? Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
And then we have another film that we saw at Fantastic Fest. And we're going to play, well, here, it's April in the Extraordinary World, animated film. Here's what we said about it at Fantastic Fest.
Okay.
It's delightful.
1870s. Mm-hmm. What if steam technology is the farthest we advance?
Something happened, alternate timeline, and so it's steampunk.
Yep.
And so then it gets to be the 30s, and we don't, and there's no gasoline and
right.
other stuff, so it's all airships and steampunk. Raffy. Hey, Raffy. Cameo by Raffy.
He said his own name.
Yeah, I know. Like Pikachu.
So what happens is then, not only that, some scientists are getting plucked.
Scientists disappearing. Sort of like that movie Tomorrowland.
Yep.
This is like what if Tomorrowland had been a good movie.
That's right. Exactly.
This. Yeah, so all the scientists are getting plucked, and so that's why new discoveries aren't happening. And there's a little girl named April.
That's right.
Voice of Marion Cotillard.
Lovely.
And she, there's an adventure.
There's an adventure, and it's about the ultimate serum.
It's an invincibility serum.
Right, because this could change the path of things. Oh, and by the way, the cat talks.
She has a talking cat, which I believe is the result of some previous scientific experimenting or something.
It all works. It all feels lovely.
Why does the cat have carefully drawn balls and anus, would you say? We see the cat's balls.
I believe that's
anus.
The Belgian in the film.
It seemed like an odd choice to make sure you draw the cat's balls.
It's authentic.
I guess.
Here's the thing about this film. It is 90 minutes long, and it's a wonderful adventure. Somehow, and I've talked to a few others that feel the same way, somehow it needed a little bit more energy, which is weird for all the whimsy has in it.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's it. That's the one complaint about it. It's a 7 out of 10.
It's, I'm sure, perfectly fine. What I saw of it, I enjoyed very much. But I hadn't really seen it, all of it, because I fell asleep during it. And we talked about this. We didn't include this part in the excerpt. But most people at film festivals, at some point, there's a movie where you hit the wall and you sleep through the movie. Even if you enjoy the movie, it's good. You just sleep through it.
It's not your fault, Eric. It doesn't happen to you.
It's not
your fault.
But you're the anomaly. It happens to most people. Anyway, now I have seen it again. Now I've seen the whole thing, and it is charming and cute and imaginative. Here's the thing I want to say about it, though. April in the Extraordinary World. First of all, second time through, I am still bothered by the carefully drawn anus and testicles on the cat. Like, that's a conscious choice where you decide, we're going to draw the balls on this cat.
Yes.
And I get that early 1900s, or whatever this is, probably the cat would not have been neutered. That's probably true.
Do you get that?
I mean, I appreciate the historical accuracy, but I just don't – it's a strange choice. I want to interview the directors just to ask them, why draw the cat balls? Why go to the trouble? But also, more to the point, they're doing an English dubbed version of this film, and you should probably just wait and watch that version. Usually – You don't like dubbed because for a live action movie, part of the a big part of the acting is not just the voice, but it's the face and the body language and stuff. And it's when they redo the voice, it kind of it's jarring. But for a cartoon where the voice, the vocal work is separate from the visual anyway, I just feel a movie aimed at this is for good for like kids age eight and up. And I think for most of the target audience, they will just enjoy it more if they're not reading subtitles. I'm just saying. I'm saying there will be no harm in seeing that version of it. I don't think you'd be getting a lesser version of this movie if you wait and see the English dubbed one. That's all.
All right.
That's all. You know what I mean, though, about the performance being different?
Yeah.
And it's not like they just get... They got, like, some famous, some good people, some actors to do the voices. I forget who, but some people. Some good people. Not just people off the street.
Seemed like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, seemed like they did.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you gave it a 7 out of 10 before, and I give it, a B.
All right, there we go.
And now it's time for question of the week. We asked you guys, what movie character is the closest to being you in terms of personality, temperament, worldview, etc., and so forth? Really had to do some soul-searching here.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what kind of person you are, and then find a character that reflects that. And it's a hard one, we realized later.
Yeah,
after
I know.
After we asked you to answer it, we realized, this is a hard one to answer.
But we tried hard, and we did it. And some of you did, too. Mm-hmm. But it is hard. Michelle says, if I'm being honest, probably Aaron Altman from Broadcast News. I love the movie and I love the character, but I do recognize that he is a flawed character. However, I am two, so that's okay.
Oh, that's
nice
Brooks. What?
Yes, Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks' character.
Who has probably the best sweating scene in movie history.
I haven't seen that movie in forever.
It's a good one.
I should watch that movie.
Really good movie. Yeah.
Ken, this is my friend Ken, says pretty obscure, but I'm going to say Dan Foreman, Dennis Quaid's character in the movie In Good Company. Do you remember this movie?
Topher
Grace was in it.
Grace, yeah.
Yeah, and the Dennis Quaid character.
Sarah Jessica Parker, too, right?
Maybe.
Or am I making things up now? Maybe. Who knows? No way.
Ken
no way
says Dennis Quaid's character, he's a stand-up guy in the middle of a corporate takeover. And despite career pressures, always seems, above all else, most focused on and loyal to his wife and kids. I admire him. Maybe I admire him more than anything else, but I like to think our personalities, priorities, and demeanors are similar. Well, I know Ken in real life, and I'd say, yeah, that's about right. There you go, Ken.
Nice. Justin. Justin says Steve Jobs from Danny Boyle's Steve Jobs.
No.
At least according to all of my friends after seeing the movie, driven, indifferent to whether people liked him, certain of his success, and very, very particular.
All right. Well, I mean, maybe your friends all said that that reminded them of you, but I don't think it was a compliment. But it's possible.
Touche.
Katya says Hermione Granger. She's a bookworm. She's good at school. She doesn't like breaking the rules. She tends to be a warrior, and she has an unusual first name. I even like libraries so much, I grew up to be a librarian, says Katya.
There it is.
Well done.
Yeah. Kurt says, as a teenager, I was frequently compared to Averman from the Mighty Ducks. It actually made me work harder to be less obnoxious human being. Results have been mixed.
Then he posted a picture of the character from that movie.
Yeah, he's the red curly red hair with big old glasses. That's who he was, Averman from the Mighty Ducks.
I've never
seen
that movie.
That's interesting to be referenced as a character, and then that actually like affects you and you change because of
right.
it. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've ever like changed because somebody suggested something.
Ryan says he'd like to think he's Tom from 500 Days of Summer, but in reality, he's probably Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
I think probably someone who is like Travis Bickle probably would not realize he is like Travis Bickle. That's part of being Travis Bickle, is not knowing that that's who you are.
I was definitely Tom.
From 500 Days of Summer?
For a stretch in my life.
I think we've all had periods of Tomness. Sure.
Yeah. blinded, finding the connections and things that weren't necessarily true. Mm-hmm. All of the, that movie's good. Andrew says, I'd say John Cusack from High Fidelity with a much less cool job.
That's worthy.
All right.
Dallas says, Andy from The 40-Year-Old Virgin, except the virgin part. So Dallas relates to being 40, I guess.
And then I guess high five for not being a virgin, Dallas.
Yeah, sure. Way to go, Dallas. Nice work.
Patty says, Joe from Little Women or Lizzie from Pride and Prejudice?
I don't know anything about either of those characters, but I'll take your word for it. I wonder how many women that's interesting. When would we relate to characters from Little Women or Pride or in a Jane Austen novel?
Yeah, I mean, I think Little Women seems to be always a pop culture reference for
right,
a girl reading.
You know, I think that was – I think Little Women was like the Sex and the City of its day, where it's like, oh, are you a Joe or are you one of the other names of the sisters who were Little Women?
Yeah, I have not read it. Lizzie from Pride and Prejudice. Lizzie must be the main character. Must be.
No, the main one is what's her name? It's
so which one is Lizzie?
I don't remember. One of the sisters, I think. We're the worst.
We're terrible. We should watch movies.
Well, we watch movies.
I'm sorry. We should remember the movies.
It's books. Oh no, I guess that is Elizabeth Bennett. Is that Lizzie? Okay, yeah, Elizabeth Bennett, the main one. All right, you're right.
Story checks out.
Yeah.
All right, for you.
Who am I?
Let's see. I was thinking about this a lot, and I wasn't thinking about this very much, actually.
Right, I know.
And I've come to the conclusion it would make sense to pick one of your favorite movies because sometimes people, you know, have a favorite movie because of a personal connection that they have with the character.
Sure,
That just happens.
Right.
Time to time. So, Brick Tamlin, wouldn't you say?
Brick Tamlin? How am I Brick Tamlin? He's the dumb one. I'm not dumb. I wear glasses like him.
That was it. That's all I had. Well, it was a misdirect.
I think
you're
that
not Brick.
I think that you could be Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation. I can picture you. I can imagine you doing dad stuff, like putting lights up on the house and getting the kids in trouble and being a dad.
Yes, and being – getting obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Getting way too obsessed with it, missing the point.
Right.
Getting in too deep. My wife and I just had the conversation of you know, when Dylan spills food, on purpose, maybe just don't care. Because that's the philosophy that would be – and it was just this thing that was wait, what? How can I not care? And it threw me for a second. Then I was
just let something go?
Let it go that he's done this? And then I was oh, yeah, you're okay with it. You're not upset. Why am I getting upset? Yeah, you're right. And it's it was just that weird thing that I didn't think about it,
yeah.
I guess. So, yeah, thank you. I could see me being Chevy Chase.
There you go.
I wish I had a really good answer for you. I kept thinking about this, but nothing immediately sticks out. And I think it's just because you're such an original.
Ah, thanks. That's probably what it is. The one for myself that I thought applies to me, and maybe I'm not the only one who feels this way, but, Truman from The Truman Show, because when I was a kid, I had an elaborate imagination where I imagined that I was on TV all the time, that my whole life was a TV show. Unlike Truman, I was aware of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I sort of imagined that everything that happened in my life was – sometimes it was actually being televised as it happened, but then other times it was being recreated in a studio or something. I would enter a room and immediately determine which wall would be gone in order to accommodate the cameras and the audience. How we'd turn this into a set somehow.
Was this would you say that this was many years that you did this? Was this a summer?
No, it was for several years. It was sort of my standard daydream as a kid until I was in, early teens.
Would you discuss it?
No.
It was something you rarely talked about.
I don't know that I ever really talked about it with.
Like, it wasn't like your mom was like, "Oh, there he goes again doing that."
No,
because
it was all just in my head, and it was all just sort of a fun way to imagine, like, "Oh, what if this?" And it's sort of thinking of things that were happening in my life, and then thinking, "How would we make this into a TV show?" Always a comedy. It was always a really funny comedy. Hmm. Yeah, and I don't know what kind of narcissism makes someone do that. But I had
a large helping.
Yeah. Yeah. Eventually I realized
giant that spoonful.
The mundane details of my daily life would not make for an interesting TV show. And so I stopped pitching it to the networks.
Reality TV comes along and right. Totally steals your idea.
It would have been.
You were cutting edge.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Instead of being old timey, you were ahead of your time. A surprising twist.
Once.
My answer is Tim. You know that character Tim? I feel like that's, you know, that's me.
So. Tim from what movie?
Oh, really? You need, okay. Digging for Fire. You know that movie that nobody saw?
This movie you loved from Sundance last year.
Yes, yes. And every time I said I loved it, I said I loved it for personal reasons.
Right.
Yeah, it was, he gets a weekend away from his life. And you know, he kind of like, he doesn't relive anything, but it's like he glances at his single friend, sees what they're like, has misadventures, starts getting obsessed with something that doesn't really matter, has a task to follow through on getting the taxes done, but he's like putting that off. To like hang out with buddies instead and right. All that sort of thing. And it was just like,
you could relate to it.
Totally relatable. And you know, similar situation, time-wise in life and everything. And yeah, it was just like, that was it. There kind of go. A boring answer. I mean, it would have been nice for me to say Thor.
Well, yeah, that's true. You're not anything like Thor though.
Not like Thor. I'm more like, I'm Luke, but
I can see you can see you being like Thor in the sense that you're better in groups than you are like on solo projects.
That's good.
Question of the week for next week. Thank you all for your thoughtful answers, by the way. We know this is kind of a tough one. For next week, we've asked you an easier one, probably. In conjunction with the Melissa McCarthy movie, The Boss, tell us a story about a boss you've had that would make a good movie.
Yep. We can do the casting. You can do the casting. Sure. Whatever you want.
Casting suggestions, welcome. And it can be an overall boss who just overall would make a good movie and give us some examples. Or it can be a one specific incident that happened or whatever. Mm-hmm.
This gives you, the listener, a chance to look back on your life and think about your bosses.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I bet everybody has had a boss – has had a crazy / annoying / bad boss.
Mm-hmm.
Probably if you've had more than one job in your life, and plenty of people who have only had one job have had a boss like that, yes. I would say. So tell us your answers. You can email us, moviebspdx@gmail.com, and it'll be on Facebook too. And then we also do this other segment where you ask us questions. Remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah, we haven't done it in a while. We need some new questions where you get to know us better. So we'll feel free to post some new ones on Facebook. In the meantime, Joseph has asked us this question. What cars do you drive? This is an easy one.
Do I just choose one of my like seven or what do I do here?
You have two cars.
I know.
Seen them.
Yep.
And one's really your wife's.
Yes. I'm allowed to drive it. I can drive it whenever I want.
Sure,
don't
you can. Sure, you can.
I can. I just don't want to.
Well, which car is yours? Which one is yours?
Mine is the Subaru Outback, not the Subaru Legacy. They're both the same color, and they're both new-ish.
Yeah.
And
one of them is more bigger than the other one, right?
Mine.
All right.
And I would say this is all I've ever wanted out of an automobile. It's not the it's not the super fancy leather seats. It's the one below it. There's no sunroof. I'm ecstatic with this car.
Yeah.
There's a button that will warm your butt, and it's just insane.
Butt warmer? It's amazing.
I have it, and
I have to do that manually in my car.
I want this car forever. I think I'm just done. I'll just, all right, find another new Subaru Outback, find another new Subaru Outback.
Not this specific car forever.
I mean, it'd be nice.
You know, they don't last forever.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Although these are supposedly
run for a long time.
In a very long time.
There's some good cars over there at, what'd you say it was? Subaru.
Subaru.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to Portland.
With yes.
All you other Subaru drivers.
I have a Subaru. I have a dog. I mean, I have a tattoo, but like not enough.
Not enough.
I guess that's it.
My car that I drive, I'm looking at it right now out the window of my apartment, it's a Corolla. Toyota Corolla 2004. I can't remember if it's 2002 or 4. I got it about a year and a few months ago from my brother. Bought it from my brother Lane in Utah, because he and his wife had their third kid and graduated to the minivan.
Mm.
Actually, in Utah, when you have three kids, the state issues you a minivan.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah, and so Lane sold me his hand-me-down. And it's a fine car, perfectly
it's not,
fine.
Not
car.
A lemon?
Nope.
Didn't quite stick good. It to you?
Good, reliable, either 12 or 14-year-old Corolla.
I'm curious, how long was the negotiation period? Was there a lot of back and forth?
It was a very...
Conniving? Was there conniving?
There was no conniving. It was a very, very simple transaction, yeah. It's a nice thing about doing business with family, in my case anyway, maybe not always.
Yeah, you like...
Not all families.
Please remember that you like your family.
Hashtag not all families. My family, we don't cheat each other over auto sales.
Right.
So there you go. There answers your question, Joseph. So everyone, you can ask us some more questions.
Yeah.
Interesting things about
ourselves or whatever. We'll do that on Facebook again. We'll get that going again.
Yeah. And that's the end of the show.
Woo-hoo!
Our sixth anniversary show.
Sixth anniversary.
Midnight Special is pretty good. You liked it more than I did, but I liked it.
Yes. 100% yes. I really want people to see this movie and enjoy it.
It's a movie that people will probably enjoy, that you should see, people should see. And I saw the light. You said is no.
Right. It absolutely skipped it. There's no matter what your thinking was, there's
don't
no specific
you dare
reason
see
to see
movie.
This movie. It's like, oh, I love Hank. No, you don't. Oh, I love Tom. No.
And April in the Extraordinary World is good. It's fine. It's cute. Imaginative.
Yep. See it at some point. And if you
at
like
some point, yeah.
If you like English better, just wait.
Right. Or if you got kids who are going to see it, kids probably do better without the subtitles.
They hate reading.
Kids don't read so good.
Nope.
The question of the week, tell us a story about a boss you've had that would make a good movie.
Guess what?
What?
Traditional sixth anniversary gift.
What?
Candy or iron.
Is that true? Candy or iron?
Yep.
That's an odd choice.
Alternative modern. We're going wood for alternative modern choice on the sixth wedding anniversary.
Who decides these things?
An alternative jewelry materials. Turquoise.
Is there like a council somewhere that comes up with these?
I
would assume the candy was the alternative modern one.
Google.
Huh. All right. Well, we'll sort that out off the air. Until next week, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening and good day.
I said good day. I think I have like something crawling on my roof in this room or something.
Oh, is it a raccoon?
Oh, no.
I hope it's a raccoon. Probably just squirrels. There's a lot of squirrels in this town.
Yeah. I'm just surprised how well I can hear it.
Portland, city of squirrels.
Unless it's inside the house.
The squirrels are coming from inside the house.